opens wide for Wade. What a dunk! Forney blocked his dunk. Here's Wade against Green. Euro step. Basket. And a foul.
Welcome to the Heat Check. I'm Wes Goldberg. With me, as always, it's David Ramil. How you doing, buddy?
I've got my selfie stick, and I'm ready to be a top 10 pick.
Woo! All right, before we start, I got good news and I got bad news. Which one do you want first?
Always the bad news.
Okay, bad news is the Miami Heat did not get Kelly Oubre.
God damn it.
I know. Or Devin Booker. This is awful. Do you want the good news now?
Yes.
We got Justice Winslow! Boom. LeBron James leaves. We get justice.
That's the headline of the Herald tomorrow, right?
Probably. Or the Sentinel or the Palm Beach Post or...
All three.
All the blogs. And that's what we will title this podcast, maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. So, quick reaction. Actually, you know what? Let me ask you this. A lot of people thought that maybe the Knicks take Winslow at 4. They take Porzingis, and then which we already talked about, right?
Yes.
And then the Pistons are thought maybe they take Winslow. They take Stanley Johnson. What is your thought process as this is happening, and at what point do you start freaking out that the Heat are going to get Winslow?
Well, it's so interesting because you know you start seeing the dominoes start to fall slowly, and of course you've got Wojnarowski tweeting minutes in advance of the pick actually being selected. So it's kind of interesting as you're watching this whole process play out. But I think it was around, I guess, Mario Hezonja got picked fifth, right? So you start to think, all of a sudden, you know, Justice Winslow had been slotted to go to Orlando in a lot of early mock drafts. Mm-hmm. Now you're thinking, huh, maybe he's going to drop. And then I start remembering how much Stanley Johnson had been coveted by Stan Van Gundy, and it made sense that he was going to go eighth overall. But then all of a sudden, there's no need for him. Willie Cauley-Stein goes sixth to Sacramento. I forget who goes seventh to Denver. Refresh my memory here.
Oh, Moutier.
Oh, yeah. He had been dropping a lot in recent mock drafts as well. And so you start thinking, wait a minute, is this realistically going to happen? And then you see the Woj bomb drop that Detroit apparently saw something they really liked in Stanley Johnson. And you know, based on the moves that Charlotte made last night after our podcast, acquiring Jeremy Lamb also, again, refresh my memory, I forgot who else.
Nick Batum.
Nick Batum from Portland.
It's been a long night.
Yeah, it has. I've got 2 hours sleep, no kidding. I'm exhausted. But it's just all of a sudden you realize, oh my God, this kid is supposed to be a top four, top five talent in the draft. Before the European invasion of Porzingis and Hezonja, this kid was easily going to be the fourth pick in the draft. You had D'Angelo Russell, you had the two bigs Karl Anthony Towns and Jahlil Okafor. And all of a sudden you have Justice Winslow going maybe third or fourth, depending on who you had in the mock draft. And you start to realize this is it. This is the player that we need here in Miami. I think there's so much potential about this kid. So much potential that I don't even think I scouted him as much as I ought to have because I didn't think he was going to be there at 10th overall.
This was like, yes, you're right. And I know he's not that Okafor Towns level, but it's like I put no work into scouting Jahlil Okafor. You know what I mean? Like I just did nothing. I just like, I watched him a few times and I was like, he's pretty good. And that was about it. But I didn't actually get into him, and Winslow is right in that kind of, like you're saying, top five, top seven class. I'm like, there's just no way. Like, it's pointless. You know, I'll spend my time on Mario Hezonja before I spend my time on Justice Winslow. And it was interesting that you mentioned what was going on with the Woj bombs, because he's tweeting these things minutes ahead of time, and, you know, two picks ahead of time, right when we got up to the Nuggets, it's like he was just ahead of everything. And then
before Denver even makes their pick, he's already saying Detroit's taking Stanley Johnson.
Exactly. And then he reports that the Hornets are looking to trade their pick and that they're getting a lot of people looking to move up. But we've also, if you've been following, that if anybody's going to trade up to 9, it's going to be for Frank Kaminsky. And so I know a lot of people were kind of freaking out over if they were going to get Justice Winslow or not, but I think it was pretty obvious once Stanley Johnson went to Arizona or went to Charlotte, that regardless of who had the ninth pick, it was going to be for Frank Kaminsky, right? You would think. And that the Heat were going to get Justice Winslow. And if it wasn't Justice Winslow, at the very least, it was Devin Booker, who also a lot of people thought was going to go high and possibly even to Charlotte at nine or even higher than that. So it looked like everything was breaking perfectly for the Heat to basically just have their pick between Booker, Winslow, and our favorite Kelly Oubre, and who kind of fell longer. I don't know. Maybe we're really bad at this because he fell. But anyway.
So did Kawhi Leonard, so I have no...
That's true. Good point. So...
I mean, should preface that. We've been hyping Kelly Oubre because we see potential there.
And it's the same... Right, and it's the same things that we've been loving about Winslow, right? It's the transition... Could walk in and play defense right away and can catch and shoot. And that's what we love about Winslow. But Winslow's just Oubre, but more ready now and just better with more potential.
Absolutely, I think. I mean, maybe a little shorter, a little less of the wingspan, et cetera. Right. The kind of things that, you know, analytics love, et cetera. But he's an excellent rebounder. He's great on fast break opportunities. Good shooter from the perimeter, if a little inconsistent, right? But, I mean, I did an early, a quick scouting report as much as I possibly could before coming onto the podcast because, you know, I know a little bit about his game, but from everything we see, you know, Stanley Johnson was probably likely to fall into Miami's lap on 10th, but when he got picked 8th, all of a sudden you've got this guy who's supposed to be Stanley Johnson, but better, and that's why he was a top 5 talent at one point. So it's interesting how it all played out for Miami.
A 41% 3-point shooter, and then Kirk Goldsberry with Grantland just was tweeting out, as he's been with the whole draft, his shot charts for every pick. And you could see that Oubre likes the left wing to shoot his threes from, and he likes to get to the basket, and he won't shoot mid-range shots, which is very different than what Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh does. And that kind of efficiency is going to be really important, and I think a welcome addition as the fifth or sixth scorer is going to be a pretty efficient score for the Heat. That's really solid for depth purposes, and...
You said Oubre, but you meant Winslow, right?
I meant Winslow. I'm sorry, I still got Oubre on the mind.
Understandable completely.
And if you think, if that left wing, that left, getting really specific, that left wing, which way does Dwayne Wade like to drive?
Yeah, absolutely.
Left, right? So it's an easy kick-out opportunity for him, assuming Wade's back. Dragic can kick out from anywhere, but that's also a great kick-out opportunity. Bosh, I believe, likes the right wing.
Yes,
if I'm not mistaken. So now, you know, with those forward combinations, is a possibility to have one guy on the right and one guy on the left, and like a horns kind of set or something like that.
Right.
And I think it just, like, it makes a lot of sense. And this is just an absolute steal. And right now, it's the steal of the draft. Right now, is Winslow falling like that?
And I'm sure you're probably going to bring it up too, but it bears mentioning. That Luol Deng, you know, one of his complaints after the season was that he didn't want to be a catch and shoot player, even though he actually thrived along from that corner three. He was actually, I think, 36-37% from the corner three, so a pretty good rate, all things considered. And he didn't want to be that catch and shoot kind of player. He wanted to be more of a slasher, the kind of game he'd always had. He mentioned how Scott Skiles had specifically taught him to be more of a cutting type player, and he didn't like the fact that Miami had kind of just basically rendered him a shooter along the corner. But this seems to be a perfect fit then, in the sense that Justice Winslow, who might likely replace Deng in the starting lineup, or at the very least get heavy consideration or heavy minutes, seems to thrive in that specific area where Deng did not want to play at. So it kind of seems like Miami might have an indication that Deng is not going to be part of the team moving forward.
Well, I mean, Winslow was the best player by far available, so you have to draft him either way. But,
sure.
But Deng is more expendable. I mean, what do we love about Deng is his defense and his toughness. And this is what all these scouts and things are preaching about Winslow. And great news, he's $8 million cheaper, so, and young,
yeah,
and only getting better.
Yeah, 900 games less on his knees, back, you know, elbow, shoulder, everything else.
Exactly, so, is Deng more expendable now? Absolutely, but at the same time, if Deng does opt in and take his $10 million, which is very possible, $10 million is a lot of money and a lot to walk away from, And we would assume he's not going to get that much in his next year's contract if he does sign somewhere else. But if Dang opts in, Winslow will be that backup swing between Dwayne Wade and Luol Deng, right? That's what we're projecting. And that's a really, really good fit because now Mario Chalmers could just be the backup point guard. We talked on the last podcast about how we don't really know what his role is and how that was an issue last season. That might more line up what his specific role is, assuming he's still with the Heat this coming season. They have the backup point guard. They have the backup shooting guard, small forward, who can very often be the same person. That would be Winslow. And then Josh McRoberts coming back. And then Chris Anderson as the backup center. This is not only a very good starting lineup, but a deep team now.
Well, I think you're counting too much on Chalmers being part of the team. I think, although you and I personally would love to see Mario there, and I think we have a little bit more confidence in him than Shabazz Napier at this point, I think you kind of have to clear some space there, salary cap-wise, and Chalmers is likely to be dealt, right? I think that's what we've seen in recent days, and it seems like that's the most obvious choice there. I think you're going to trade away McRoberts, Anderson, or Chalmers. Chalmers is probably the more attractive of the three because of his salary, because of his skill set, et cetera. And that being the case, then that puts Shabazz Napier as a logical backup, and then Winslow as the, you know, like you said, the wing player who can fill in. And, you know, let's not forget James Ennis was, mm-hmm. He showed flashes last year. I guess this means the end of the Tyler Johnson era. No more bumps in the road.
I don't know about that, because if they do trade Chalmers, and I agree with you, he's the most likely trade candidate if they're looking to clear space. One, because he's not needed so much as maybe Chris Anderson and McRoberts, and he's probably the most tradable out of those three, because we don't know about McRoberts' injury situation. Chris Anderson's old. Chalmers is at a need position for a lot of teams. So, you know, if the Heat are looking for a backup point guard, maybe Shabazz Napier is not developing as much as they want, then you still have that opportunity of Dwayne Wade handling the ball in point guardless lineups when Dragic has to rest, and then Winslow filling in, and then maybe Tyler Johnson getting minutes as the shooting guard. Winslow moves into small forward if Dang's not in. You know what I mean? Like, there's still an opportunity for Tyler Johnson to maybe get a few five or so minutes here and there if they go in like a point guardless lineup. And let's not forget, Tyler Johnson did a good job handling the ball and running the pick and roll last season. I do think there's an opportunity if he outplays Napier and the Heat trade Chalmers, he could get more minutes at point guard than Napier. I wouldn't rule that out.
That's interesting.
Because either way, if Wade's still in the lineup, you know, point guard, quote unquote, but Wade would do most of the ball handling. But what were you gonna say?
No. Just I think Heat Nation is probably elated. I mean, I saw some footage of the crowd at American Airlines Arena watching the draft play out, and it seems like everybody was really excited. So you can't beat that. I think the Heat have some history that I pointed out. And I talked to you before the podcast about Caron Butler dropping to 10th and him being so overcome emotionally because he was expected to be a top five talent. You know, he had success at UConn, but then all of a sudden, I guess there were some concerns about his health and his overall attitude, and he dropped to 10th. But I didn't hear about any of those concerns with Winslow, so this was a little bit more surprising, I think.
Yeah, usually when people fall, right, there's something against them. Like, we thought Mario Hezonja would fall because of his attitude, but he got picked 5th.
Correct.
And then we thought, you know, Porzingis could fall because of the whole European thing. Or Jahlil Okafor, there's been talked about him falling because there's not a need for his position anymore in the NBA or something. And
right. All
these kind of knocks. Nobody thought Winslow was going to fall. Everybody thought he was going to be top 7. And really, he didn't. It wasn't a knock against him. I guess just the Pistons love Stanley Johnson. I mean, this sounds like to me like Van Gundy just loved him in the interview, or there must be something really specific about him. I saw a report that they were looking to get Nick Batum before the Hornets got him, and that if they couldn't get him, they wanted a Nick Batum-type player. So maybe they view Stanley Johnson as more of a glue guy like Batum is than Winslow, who might be, I don't know, less so, if in their view at least.
I didn't see a lot of Arizona play. I know they had Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, right? So they had a pretty solid group overall. Maybe they attribute too much of Winslow's success to the presence of Okafor. And maybe that's a concern, but then you look at Chris Bosh and you look at Hassan Whiteside. So, I mean, his opportunities along the perimeter will be there in Miami, so I'm not too worried about that. If he's able to capitalize on those, and that's the most important thing, you still need a balanced, deep team, and he adds to that. So I think his fit here is perfect, to be honest with you.
I think, yeah, the dominoes just fell in place for the Heat. You know, Stanley Johnson's not a bad pick for the Hornets, but they just picked him over Justice Winslow. Like, if Winslow wasn't on the board, it would have been a great pick.
Right.
So, yeah.
How much of that hinges on Philadelphia doing the unexpected and taking Okafor at third after the Lakers took D'Angelo Russell? What would have happened if they had gone in another direction, right? Because, I mean, they've got Joel Embiid there and Nerlens Noel, so maybe there wasn't a necessary need for somebody like Okafor, even though he was clearly the best player at that point. What if they had gone somewhere else, and maybe he had fallen to fourth with New York, or Porzingis hadn't gone as early as he had? I mean, there's so many different scenarios, and you know, it's always a fun thing to do years later is to do a redraft and see where each of these players should have been selected.
Yep, and the consensus is that this top seven group, which Winslow was a part of, were all going to be good players, right? I don't think there's going to be... There's really not concern for a bust other than maybe Porzingis and Moutier, you know, high potential, but also kind of possible busts. But everybody thought Winslow was going to be a solid player just because of his size, because he can defend so well. I mean, I was reading the Draft Express profile on him, and they just were talking about how, you know, at 222 pounds, he's not going to be overpowered by forwards, and he's got just great lateral quickness and ability to close out. I mean, this is just perfect. I mean, the Heat ranked 20th in the NBA last season in three-point percentage given up to opponents. I mean, he's going to help that, at the very least, at least in the starting lineup, in the backup unit, or possibly the starting lineup. And hypothetically, if Tang opts in and Wade resigns, you and I have talked about, I think offline, about possibly bringing Luol Deng off the bench in an Andre Iguodala-type scenario. Yes. Winslow offers that ability. He's more willing, as you pointed out, to catch and shoot. I mean, he will space the floor better than Deng. And when you have Whiteside and you have Wade in that starting lineup, you need more spacing. And we know Deng can do it, but he might not. I don't know, like, if he's necessarily respected, if he's not going to do it. So there's an opportunity for that there. I doubt Eric Spoelstra is going to start a rookie over Luol Deng. That probably wouldn't go over too well. But there is at least an option for that kind of lineup shift.
Yeah, I mean, he could be Miami's Harrison Barnes. Mm-hmm. I don't see why that wouldn't work out for him. I mean, you're right in that Deng seems to be the kind of proud veteran that wouldn't take that or would view it as a demotion when it necessarily doesn't have to be.
Mm-hmm.
Not starting doesn't mean not finishing, and that's an important part of it. It also means that he'd probably wind up playing a lot of minutes anyway, even if he comes off the bench. And it makes sense in a lot of ways. So I'm curious to see how they would handle it if Deng does return to the team, because it does seem like it would make a lot of sense. But that's a discussion for another time, I guess.
We've got to at least talk about the elephant in the room. Can Winslow replace Dwayne Wade if Wade leaves?
That seems a lot less likely, right? A different skill set, perhaps, but... I don't know if I see it that way. I mean, I guess he'd have to, right? I don't know that they can afford anybody else unless Deng opts out as well. And if that's the case, if Deng and Wade both opt out and they're somehow able to convince Dragic to re-sign, then I guess you would probably wind up starting Winslow at the small forward position by default and then looking to build or add a shooting guard via free agency. And I don't know if Monte Ellis is the guy. I guess they'd be able to afford him. Should they trade away one of the three of either Chalmers, Birdman, or McRoberts? So there are options there. But
they could play him at shooting guard and sign a small forward too. You know, that's an option as well.
But Jay Crowder.
Jay Crowder, Al-Farouq Aminu. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm sure he's playing Gerald Green.
Possibility. Isn't Green more of a two-guard, though?
Yeah. I'm sorry, yeah. He's more of a two-guard and then maybe play Winslow at small forward at that point. I think this certainly... he wouldn't ever replace Wade, but I think this definitely helps. Having having somebody of his caliber drop and with his potential drop and somebody who has the ability to defend right away, the Heat would be worse off without Wade. There's no question about that. But if Wade were to leave, right now, I think we could assume that maybe Winslow's a better defender than Wade, maybe a more willing defender than Wade. Wade, I think, is a very good defender when he's up to it, but his knees and everything like that. He'd play more games, presumably, than Wade. And he's a better three-point shooter, I think, that's no doubt, than Wade. So, not saying he's better than Wade, but those are at least positives. I mean, there's a lot of things Wade's better at. But I think this pick at least would help make that loss a little bit less awful. Right?
Yeah.
By a little bit. Maybe like 2% worse. 2% I mean, less worse.
we did talk about it yesterday, assuming that it had been Devin Booker that they were going to draft, who would have naturally slotted into the shooting guard position, you know, whether or not he would have taken on that responsibility and borne a lot of the pressure that the team would take on if Wade does leave. But it's a little different if, you know, with Winslow. I think a lot of fans are probably excited about the move just because he was, you know, such a high pick at one point and he dropped into our lap. So I think it seems like it's going to fit perfectly. Now, I mean, I know we talked about it before, how when they were interviewing just after the draft pick that, you know, they said he was going to be playing with Dwayne Wade. Obviously, that's not a foregone conclusion, but I hope Wade's as excited about the pick as we are, because I think it's going to be a great thing, an opportunity for him to learn. You know, if Deng and Wade both opt in, I know that a lot of people had talked about that role with Devin Booker. I think in interviews during the scouting combine, I think Pat Riley had told Booker that the opportunity for him to learn, you know, from Dwayne Wade before he retires was a great thing. But I like that opportunity for Wade and Deng to teach Winslow should they both opt in and sign with Miami or re-sign with Miami. I think it would be a great thing for him to learn from both of them. And, you know, Chris Bosh is a very cerebral guy. I'm sure he'll have some pointers.
Yeah, he took a picture in front of Stonehenge or something on Instagram today.
Did he?
I don't know. I saw that on Stonehenge. It was something. It was Stonehenge. He was looking very cerebral, very thoughtful.
Well, he already contacted him, right? I think he tweeted him directly already and said, you know, congratulations, welcome aboard or something like that. So, I mean, it's good news.
Yeah, and, you know, us as Heat fans, we're all psyched about this. And you got to think, like, Wade should be a little excited about this, right? Like, at least a little bit about this guy falling.
Right.
The idea of returning to the Heat might be even a little bit more
enticing.
Yeah, maybe. I think we're both confident that Wade is coming back, not to jinx anything, but this is just like a very good night for Heat fans with Winslow dropping and Wade's not out the door and Deng's not out the door. Best case scenario, right, is that, you know, now that we have Winslow, is that Deng opts in, Wade resigns, and then they're pretty much good to go. I mean, they might have to, like you said, they may unload a few contracts to stay under the luxury tax and things like that, but
sorry, I've got to point this out. No, I don't mean to interrupt here, but Gabriel Union just tweeted at Justice Winslow, too. Welcome to Miami. Now get used to people misspelling your first name. I know a guy who dealt with the same thing. I guess she means Dwayne, right?
Perfect. So that's awesome. Great. Gabriel Union's got him in the fold. This is good news. I'm happy. And Dwayne Wade did post a picture. He was wearing a Heat hat today. So nothing but great things for the Heat.
The best day in Heat history.
This is it.
Well, except for that one time in July of 2010, where somebody, I forgot who it was, said they were going to come to South Beach.
Yeah, I remember something about that. But now we have the new, I'm just going to say it. The way that Justice Winslow can handle the ball in transition with his power and with his speed, it's not LeBron James, okay?
Oh, God.
But it's a shade of that. That's exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like that's such a fine line. We don't want to cross that.
I know. There's a lot of prefacing this statement, but regardless, he is going, like, he does get to the hoop with power. That was his game at Duke. And he is good in transition. He's good at handling the ball in transition. He could trail in transition and hit a three-pointer. There's a lot of things that he can do to help transition, which is another big thing that the Heat want to do next season. That's going to be a really welcome addition.
Okay. More importantly, I think, should we try and come up with a nickname for him? Something like, you know, along the lines of, you know, Justice, something around that. You know, first we had the Warden, maybe now we have the Judge or something like that, because he dispels Justice. Is that too much? I don't know.
I wonder if he had a nickname at Duke.
I didn't scout him nearly enough to know about him.
That's usually the first thing I look up, but I didn't. I'm going to Google it right now. Justice Winslow nickname.
We got to come up with something. I think we should get the ball rolling. You know, Dan Le Batard was the one who came up with the Warden, so I think it's up to us to come up with a nickname for Justice Winslow.
Chief Justice?
Ooh, Chief Justice Winslow, I like your
pick. We had King James, now we have Chief Justice.
That's great. That's awesome.
All right, we'll start with that. If you have any ideas, loyal listeners, tweet them at us. Hashtag Chief Justice or something.
Yeah, sorry. I just saw another tweet where they apparently Poetic, you know, was a nickname.
Oh, Poetic Justice. Wow, I love that. Oh my God, I like that more. It's the Kendrick Lamar song.
The Poetic Justice Podcast.
Oh, I'm so outroing this with Poetic Justice. That's what I'm doing. All right. Well, I think that concludes our immediate reaction. We'll probably do a podcast next week, and maybe after we've given it some thought. And
We've got to talk about the Washington Wizards and Kelly Oubre.
Yeah, we should talk about Oubre. We owe it to Oubre and all of our listeners who just want to hear more about Kelly Oubre. I think it's a really good pick. He was drafted by the Hawks, which would have been a good pick for the Hawks, and then he was traded to the Wizards. So now the Wizards have Otto Porter and Kelly Oubre. So I guess Oubre is going to help fill that Paul Pierce void, at least depth-wise.
I'll go a step further here, and this will get you conspiracy theorists going, but one of my writers over at Thunder's Intentions pointed out they just grabbed him there as an effort to lure Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant had recently posted something on Instagram talking about his homeboy, and he was talking about specifically Kelly Oubre.
The Shabazz Napier theory.
Very likely, isn't it? So I think, now they're gearing up for KD 2016.
Gotta draft the guy that the guy wants, right?
Absolutely.
It worked out for the Heat. So let's end it on a positive note. Favorite thing about Justice Winslow?
I'd say the shooting range, I think.
Okay. I'm going to go with his ability to just defend right away. I mean, he's going to be our Paul George, Jimmy Butler, Kawhi Leonard mold guy. I'm super excited for that. We needed a 3-and-D guy, and that's what we got, and I'm really excited for it.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for talking to me, David.
You got it, Wes.
You can follow The Heat Check on SoundCloud, listen to us on iTunes, and check out the podcast website, heatcheckpodcast.blogspot.com. We'll catch you next time.
I recognize your fragrance, hold up, you ain't never gotta say shit, and I know your taste is a little bit, high maintenance, everybody else basic, you live life on an everyday basis, with poetic justice, if I told you that a flower bloomed in a dark room, would you trust it? I mean, I write poems in these songs, dedicated to you when you're in the mood for empathy, it's blood in my pen, better yet with your friends and them, I really wanna know you all, I really wanna show you off. Fuck that, pour up plenty of champagne. Cold nights when you curse this name. You called up your girlfriends and y'all curled in that little bitty range. I heard that she wanna go and party. She wanna go and party. Nigga, don't approach her with that Atari.